Terminal GUI with Charlie Kindle.
The Azure DevOps Podcast is a show for developers and DevOps professionals shipping software using Microsoft technologies. Each show brings you hard-hitting interviews with industry experts, innovating better methods, and sharing success stories. Listen on to learn how to increase quality, ship quickly, and operate well. And now your host, Jeffrey Palermo.
Welcome to the show. I'm Jeffrey Palermo, your host, for helping you and your teams move fast, deliver quality, and run your software with confidence in Azure, all while using everything the .NET ecosystem has to offer. And I'm continuing to do a lot of online user group speaking, DevOps, Blazor, architecture. If you run a .NET or Azure-related user group, I'd love to give a presentation for you. And this episode is sponsored by ClearMeasure, and they make this podcast happen. They're a software architecture company that empowers .NET teams to be self-sufficient and able to deliver world-class results. So if they can help, please get in touch. And also be sure to check out the new video show, Architect Tips, short bite-sized tips about different architect topics. Now, today on the show, I'm really excited for my guest today, and I have Charlie Kindle. And he's an American tech executive. He's currently doing consulting and advising. He formerly held roles with Control4, Amazon, and Microsoft, for example. Much of his career has been spent focused on smart home products, and he's also the maintainer of Terminal GUI, which is a .NET 5 UI framework for console applications. Charlie, welcome to the show. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. This is going to be a lot of fun. It's nice to meet you.
Absolutely. I was introduced to you by Miguel de Icaza when I kind of was looking into the Terminal GUI project, but you've had some notable positions in your career in the tech space. As the listeners kind of get to know you a little bit, what have been some of the highlights and that have kind of put you where you are now?
Well, I started out most of my programming on the Apple II, and then the IBM PC. And I fell in love with WordStar and then Turbo Pascal, and did some really early stuff in the late 80s around graphical user interfaces using character mode. And then got in real early into the whole real GUI stuff with wrote some of the earliest Windows shareware apps way back in the day. And then that led to me ending up at Microsoft, and I was at Microsoft for quite a bit. I worked on a bunch of really fun stuff, including COM and the component object model. And I was part of the .NET original initiative around .NET real early on. And so I sort of watched it evolution. I fell in love with C# as a programming language. And I've never really been a professional developer. I like to joke that I play one on TV. I don't really know what I'm doing. After I was at Microsoft, I went to Amazon. I worked on Alexa and Echo, and then did some more smart home stuff. And right now I'm kind of in between gigs. I'm looking for my next major gig, and my plan is to have it related to the space industry. I'm just fascinated by what humanity is doing around getting off the planet. And I'm spending most of my time learning about space and finding opportunities where I can add value in space. In the meantime, I know Miguel. I've known Miguel for a long time. I was tangentially helped out with some Xamarin stuff before Microsoft acquired Xamarin. And I was looking for an open source project that I could sink my teeth into and have something fun on the side. And I'll tell a little bit more of the story of that as we go on. But Miguel graciously, let me shepherd his baby, Terminal.GUI. And we just recently relaunched version 1.0 of it. It's being used by a lot of people. And it's really fun to see people building these great, character mode graphical apps.
Well, it is fascinating to me as well, because for probably about half the programmers out there who just came about, well after the smartphone revolution, not to mention just web, everything's an app now. That we have generations of software, most notably all the COBOL systems, that where you go into an auto mechanic today or an auto parts store, and chances are, if you glance at the screen, it's a character-based user interface. And today we have all these new .NET 5 deployment models for desktop applications and bringing back WinForms and WPF and WinUI, and all those require certain capabilities of the computer. But for a long time, it was kind of assumed that, oh, command line tools, those are just small things. No, people really don't use it. You just maybe, you know, create a batch file or pass in some command line arguments. But now we're talking with terminal GUI. What I find fascinating is with modern .NET 5 applications, we can essentially, with no other UI tools, UI stack, we can have this graphical user interface that takes up a full screen window, but it really is just drawn characters on the screen. So talk about how that project got started and what's the architecture? What's the capabilities? What kind of applications can people really use this for?
Well, Miguel started it quite a while ago. He's done a fair number of very sophisticated GUI frameworks. He was involved in GNOME. And I don't really know why he started terminal.gui, but the end result is it's a full-featured library for building graphical user interfaces in character mode within terminals. It has all the features that you'd expect from a graphical library. It has windowing, it has mouse support, menus, message boxes, dialog boxes, graphing controls, scroll bars, pretty much anything you think of, buttons. You can build pretty much anything you want that you could imagine building a normal GUI app for, but do it within cross-platform on Windows, Linux, Mac. There's even people are using it on Raspberry Pi. Anywhere .NET is, you can build these apps. They're lightweight. The library is very approachable. It was designed. Miguel's initial design was one where it was relatively easy to get started. And then as we've maintained it and updated it, we tried to keep that kind of philosophy alive. Get started quickly, and then add stuff as you go.
You mentioned lightweight. I want to highlight that when there's nothing being drawn, nothing being run through a video card, it's just characters on the screen. That's as light as way as you can get. I mean, yeah, you mentioned Raspberry Pi or all these different things where you just need a very, very small program, but it needs some type of screen layout.
That's right. And there's a lot of things that you do at the command line where having any sort of GUI is way overkill. But there's oftentimes where you just wish you could get something in a table view or something where you can do easily sorting, or maybe you just want to have something where a mouse is going to allow you to get around quicker. And Terminal GUI lets you do that very easily.
Okay. Now, are there any notable applications out there in the wild that people can see that use Terminal GUI?
There are quite a few. And if you go to the GitHub repo, you can see a whole list of those. But one of my favorites, and actually it's part of the story of how I got involved in this, a core part of PowerShell Core is a set of tools called graphical tools. And one of the commands that previously existed is /console/grid view, known as OCGV for short. And this had been built by one of the PowerShell developers, Tyler Leonard, as basically a proof of concept. And that's where I discovered it. And I started to fix bugs in it. I thought it would be really fun to fix bugs in it. And that's actually how I discovered terminal.gui, because he had taken a dependency on that. And the beautiful thing about out console grid view is from it, you can take any PowerShell output, pump it into it, and then have a tabular graphical representation of it that makes it easy to navigate large amounts of data. One of my favorite use cases for it, those of you who use PowerShell know that PowerShell is missing the ability to press F7 and have a history come up of everything you typed on the command line that easily select that history. And so we built a PowerShell script that allows you to just hit F7 and it uses out console grid view to display your command line history. And then boom, you select it and that's back on the command line. can move on. That's one simple example that's out there kind of in production very robustly.
Now, .NET developers are really, they come to expect some type of control model. And you said there's dropdowns, there's text boxes and all those things. So besides the built-in ones, what is the control model for terminal GUI for people who want to create a composite control or a new type of control?
Yeah, so the base class hierarchy from a graphical perspective starts at a class called View. And View is the base. And there's another class that sits above that called Window. And then derived from Window is, for example, MessageBox. These are all composable together. There's a container hierarchy where you can embed controls and lay controls out within a view. One of the more powerful aspects of the framework is how you do positioning. You can either position your controls absolutely, either by number of rows and columns. Again, nothing's done in pixels. It's all done in rows and columns,
right?
Because that's the unit of measure. The other mode is called computed layout. And it's actually a very innovative thing that Miguel invented that allows you to have dynamic layout. So for example, as you resize your terminal window, the controls all resize and flow within it. And so basically most of the programming is done where you declaratively lay these things out in code. There are some attempts ongoing right now for people to build designers, where you can actually have like a Visual Basic style canvas where you can drag and drop controls. But right now, most of it is done manually with code.
Okay. Wow, this is fascinating. I'm thinking of so many different controls that the Telerik and Infragistics and Grape City and all these other control vendors have created for the other technologies. Things like the autocomplete combo box where you type in something and it auto searches and you can... besides the layout, are there any limitations? Could any of those types of controls be made with Terminal GUI as well?
They can. We do have a drop-down combo box already, and it has a very limited autocomplete capability, but it could easily be expanded to go beyond that. One of the most fun views or controls that someone just added to the project is a tab view. And so you can have a UI where you have three or four tabs that the user can navigate to have, and each tab can have its own set of controls, kind of like a notebook metaphor. Another great example of it's actually still in development, but it's in the repo, and people can go get the pull request, which is I'm drawing a blank on which one it is because there's been so much new stuff. Well, I'll mention another one right now, which is the table view. And its ability to present tabular data in a grid with editing ability, kind of like a mini spreadsheet. We have time and date controls. There's a status bar. There's a menu bar. There's a progress bar, for example, showing ongoing activity. And one other thing that people should be aware of is we've done the work to make sure that all the code is re-entrant and thread safe. And so it's easy to build multi-threaded apps as well, so that you can have background tasks. For example, use a progress bar to show status of it's copying files or whatever it is that you want to do.
Nice. Now, just the other day, I was resurrecting an old computer and then realized one of the memory chips had gone bad. And so it landed me in the BIOS and going through those screens. I actually don't know what UI library BIOS makers do, but that's the kind of feel. And whether there's a good Windows app that just needs to be really lightweight and have the broadest reach, or an IoT device that most of the time it just runs in the background, but when you need to get on the device and service it, you don't have to have anything other than put a screen going. That's what comes to mind. But let's talk about the application model. You mentioned there was a view, there's a window, and then the individual controls. What are the constraints? I'm guessing that you have to stay within the terminal window. You're not going to be spawning new windows from this, correct?
That's correct. Your canvas is whatever the platform you're on's console provides. And as of right now, we have drivers for Curses, which is on Linux and the Mac, We have a driver for the core Windows console APIs, as well as the .NET console APIs. And that allows it to work cross-platform. And none of those today have the ability to necessarily spawn directly other, you know, pop-up windows or anything. But within that canvas, you can have pop-up windows. It actually does support drag and drop, and you can actually move windows around, although there's not a lot of use cases we've seen where people have really taken advantage of that. But the underlying technology does. The base object that you create if you want to build a terminal GUI application is the application class. And it's the thing that allows you to get going. And then once that's up and running, then you create windows on top of that.
Okay. Is there inherently, is it expected to use a form-based model, kind of like WinForms or WPF, or model view controller where you split up the behavior and the layout? What's the intended approach?
It is primarily it feels very much like WinForms in that way. There's been some experiments where people have driven, built some more declarative things, and we expect that will happen over time. We're actually looking close at MAUI and to see how we could actually allow apps to be easily ported from MAUI or even natively support a MAUI version of this. That's real early on. But for now, it feels a lot like WinForms. And part of the reason for that, I'm not sure how happy Miguel is about that, but I'm an old school WinForms guy. I built a lot of MFC apps back in the day, and then I built a boatload of WinForms apps. And so I'm sort of wired that way. And in terms of getting the first version done, kind of being able to declare a 1.0 with high quality, we went with a path that it's very comfortable for anyone who's done any WinForms work.
So if someone's going to adopt this and use it for a particular command line exe, what's the testing story look like so that they know that the user interface is behaving properly?
Yeah, when I first started with the project, we had almost no unit tests, and all the testing was just customers or users using it. We now have a fairly robust unit test framework that's part of the CI/CD pipeline, and we're about 50% code coverage across the entire library now. If people want to participate, learn, figure out how they can dive in, one of the best places they can do it is just go, you know, pick an underrepresented module and go write some more unit tests for us. But it's pretty robust right now. We over the last year, there's been a fair number of breaking changes that we've done in the library as we got to 1.0, but we've got a pretty high bar now in terms of maintaining API backwards compatibility moving forward.
And so if someone's going to be using this in their build and tests and deployments, are there any, besides the library itself, are there any kind of dependencies, or is it just the library and then C#?
It is a pure .NET Core library that runs on all .NET Core 3.0 and above. I think, no, actually .NET Core 2.1? I don't remember. I always forget the numbers. But anyway, it's just .NET Core. Has no greater dependencies.
Many thanks to our podcast sponsor, Clear Measure. Clear Measure is a software architecture company that empowers clients' development teams to be self-sufficient, moving fast, delivering quality, and running their systems with confidence. Whether starting a new project or developing new technologies or techniques, Clear Measure sets up your team to deliver world-class results. Learn more at www.clearmeasure.com. Clear Measure, empowering software delivery.
So for the tests that you do have, you know, with the web and with the Selenium driver, for instance, it can drive the screen and then it could peek at the text boxes and say, oh, this is the text that's in there, and peek at elements. Is that a capability that's part of it, or what do those tests look like if application developers are going to be writing them?
Yeah, for right now, that would all be some assembly required, the way I put that. We don't have any built-in infrastructure for that. There's nothing that would prevent someone from building that, and the hooks are all there, but we've just not done it.
Okay. So do they have to look at the right row and column and make sure that the right characters are there? Is that
they would be able to? Actually, I sort of lied. We actually do have some of the unit tests right now where we have a fake driver. So we have there's four console drivers as part of the project. There's the .NET one, there's the Windows one, and there's the Curses one for Linux and Mac. And then the fourth one is a fake driver that's used as part of our unit tests. And one of the contributors recently added a bunch of tests where you, in your tests, you can put what your expected output is, and then compare, the driver will compare that to what really happened. And so, yes, we do have that level.
Okay. Awesome. And this deploys as a regular .NET 5 assembly. I'm guessing that most of the time you would just roll up all the libraries and do a single executable deployment. That seems
you
to be...
You just go to add the NuGet package to your project. It's published on NuGet, and that's all you have to do. It's just like any other .NET library.
I remember when I first got started in development in the late 90s, and I did a little bit of work on COBOL programs that had already been around for a while. And I remember screen codes, like typing in a little number, hitting enter, and then boom, popped up a screen. And then the function keys all had assignments. What's part of the vision for this? Are there going to be any of those, you know, idioms that are already there or coming into, or what's the go forward vision?
Well, there's a fair amount of that in place today, again, because the way that keystrokes are handled in graphical apps and have been historically is very varied. And what we tried to do is make sure that the keystrokes that are supported, for example, there's a rich, not a rich text edit, but there is an edit control, multi-line edit control built into the framework. And of course, you want the most natural keystrokes to work for moving around, for copying and pasting, things like that. And so what we try and do is support the ones that are the most natural for whatever platform you're on. And so it's very natural. If you're used to using Linux or the Mac, those keystrokes work. If you're on Windows, you'll find that the Windows ones work.
Now, I think I'm hearing some of the listeners who are screaming at their audio player saying, why in the world would I ever want to use this if I have WPF and I've got Xamarin and I've got MAUI and those screens all look great? And the first reason that comes to my mind is much, much lower memory consumption. What are the others that have been talked about as far as, hey, you know what? This is actually the best solution in this scenario, in that scenario, in this other scenario.
I think that the key is when the user that you're targeting, the customer that you're targeting, you know they're going to be primarily within the console. And you want to give them, or they're asking you for additional flexibility of the ability to see stuff in a structured manner. And they don't want you to send them out to a full GUI app, a separate app. They want to stay within the console session. The other thing I'll add is it's actually just a lot of fun.
Mm. Well, when I stumbled on it, I certainly thought that, you know, it's fun and simple. I was thinking of a particular client where they have over 1,000 customers nationwide, and their software has to run on computers that run the gamut. They have no idea they've been able to force people so far to say, okay, it has to be Windows. But these are slower computers. They just don't know. And any kind of barrier to usage is the, you know, they want to get that out. And this seems to be one of those where, hey, you don't have to have a certain .NET framework. I mean, you could even compile down .NET 5 to native and just run this. And it would run on, what? Has it been tested with really old Windows? Just, I'm curious.
I haven't tested it directly, but we have projects, like I said, that are running on very constrained hardware. And we get bug reports every once in a while. Things get issued. But as far as we know, people are running it on very constrained environments and doing exactly as you described. They're compiling it down to native in some cases.
Do you happen to know any reports on startup memory usage, kind of the footprint?
Not off the top of my head. It's very lightweight and fast. The biggest speed constraint is dependent on which console you're running, actually. So, for example, if you're running your console over, a remote console you know, over the internet, that's going to be your speed constraint.
Yeah, latency. Well, I just glanced at some WinForms memory usage, and just starting up with nothing in WinForms, we kind of expect 8 megabytes of RAM used just for nothing. And then as soon as we open up kind of the first real form, it jumps up, you know, well above 100 megabytes of memory, even if the form only has a button on it. And so, you know, all of the GUI frameworks, they're, even with the tuning, they're still memory hogs. And so, yeah, I can definitely see situations where you just don't want to use memory.
Yeah, I'll go take a look at that. I haven't done any memory measurements, but it'd be fun to take our, we have a fairly massive sample app called UI Catalog. It's part of the project. And it's called UI Catalog because it has its own extensible framework for contributors adding more samples for each UI element. And it's a, basically it's a good use case of Terminal.GUI itself, because it shows how to use menus and a left pane that's got a tree view and a right pane that then can be used for other things. And then it has all, we've already built elements for it that test every control and demonstrate every control that make up the framework. So it'd be interesting to run that in a memory profiler and see how memory each of the controls use up. It'd be very easy to do. We just haven't done it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, anywhere where, you know, taking up 100+ megabytes of RAM is a no-no, you kind of have to go searching for other things, because WinForms and WPF, is none of those are going to be your friend in those situations.
Yeah.
And I'm also thinking about productivity. Whereas with, even though it does have mouse support, and I can't cite it right now, but I've come across studies and just anecdotal evidence too, that when you take your hands off the keyboard and reach for a mouse, your speed goes way down. And with WinForms, I remember the tab ordering was automatically set for you based on the sequence in which you drag and dropped the text boxes on the screen. And if that wasn't right, you had to go and fix it yourself. Is any of that built into Terminal GUI when you hit tab going to the next elements?
It is. And we've tried to make it as natural as possible. And with the programmer not having to do a lot of work to make that work. We do have a tab order if you want to modify it. But generally, the tab order follows the order in which the controls are created within their container. And then we also support navigating via tab and shift tab backwards outside of from container to container. For example, if you have two containers next to each other that each have their own controls in them.
Nice. You had mentioned with Miguel kind of starting this project and then working how Xamarin becomes Maui. I'm wondering how far of a stretch it would be to take one of the UI drivers of Maui. And I mean, we're already making it a native Android screen, a native iOS screen, a native Windows, a native Mac screen. Seems like just one more adapter and it could be a native console screen.
Yep. Well, it's on the list. I have not had a chance to look at it myself. But it's definitely something that theoretically should be relatively easy to do. And my hope is that maybe with more people knowing about this through this podcast, someone will raise their hand who's got some deeper Maui knowledge who says, hey, I'd like to help make that work, because I think it would be phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, there's some adapter code to say, okay, here's a text box. Well, it needs to be something in Android. It needs to be something different in iOS and Windows. Well, guess what? Here's how it needs to be in console. I mean, it's architecturally, it sounds like the same thing.
It's also a lot of fun. And there's, so the I want to shout out to the other contributors on the project. There's 6 or 7 folks that are actively contributing, and a large number more, 100 or so, who over time have contributed to the project. And BDISP, Thomas, a couple other folks who have been really active in the last year or so, you know, big shout out to them because they're super responsive. We have currently something like 13 open issues, which are actually bugs. And generally when a bug gets reported, one of the contributors will jump on it and get it fixed within days. And so it's a good active project. If you're looking for an open source project to be part of, that's why I did it. I just wanted a project that I could goof around with and get some experience shepherding it myself, which I had not done other than my own projects. This turned out to be a really good one. And I'm more than happy to bring on others who want to help, because it's a fun, it's a fun project.
Yeah, sounds like a great, great contributor community too. So if people, so two things for people who want to check it out, is it still GUI.cs on GitHub?
It is. We've done enough SEO that you can either search for terminal.gui or GUI.cs and you'll find it.
Okay. All right. So grab the source code from GitHub, grab the binaries from NuGet. And if people want to start contributing, who would you recommend they reach out to?
Just submit a pull request.
Okay.
Yeah, it's that simple. Awesome. There is really great API documentation as well. We've done we've worked pretty hard to make sure that every function, every method has good documentation. And so there's a pretty robust API guide as well.
Well, fantastic. Hey, Charlie, I really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show and talking to us about Terminal GUI. And I can definitely see the cases where it would shine, where you need something that has a full user interface, but you want it to sip system resources.
Yeah. And it's fun from a retro perspective as well. It allows people to go and explore the way UIs were back in the 80s and before.
Right. Right. And hey, who knows with Maui, maybe it will be again, because all of these, we've been talking in the Microsoft side of the industry and everywhere about IoT for a long time, but for some reason it's still been off to the side. It still isn't a first-class citizen. The tools aren't there, and you kind of have to invent so many things. And I think just a good UI framework that actually works in the IoT space is a big gap that needs to be filled. And this may be it.
Yeah, there's another, back in the 90s and the aughts, there was a real push for graphical developer tools, right? Mm-hmm. It was true across all platforms, but particularly the Microsoft ecosystem. And I think Microsoft maybe lost a little bit of its way in not focusing on the console. And Microsoft has woken up to that. I think PowerShell has been a big part of that. But now the new Windows Terminal and its capabilities. No developer today worth their salt doesn't engage with the console on a regular basis. It's just part of the workflow now. And Terminal GUI apps work in all of those consoles. It works perfectly well in the Visual Studio Code terminal that pops up. It works well within Visual Studio. It works in Windows Terminal. It works in WSL. And people are living in those things more and more now. And anything that allows you to have just a little bit more capability in those experiences is worthwhile.
Yes, for sure. For sure. Awesome. Well, we'll send everybody over to the GitHub project, search for Terminal GUI or search for GUI.cs and check it out, and also contribute with a pull request. And Charlie, thanks again for telling us about the project. We appreciate it.
Well, awesome. And just, the credit goes to everyone else who's contributed. I've just shepherded it, but it's been a lot of fun.
Fantastic. Fantastic. And until next time, keep shipping.
You've been listening to the Azure DevOps Podcast, a show for developers and DevOps professionals shipping software using Microsoft technologies. Go to www.azuredevops.show for show notes and other episodes. On behalf of your host, Jeffrey Palermo, and our sponsors, thanks for listening, and may God bless you.